parsha, parsha Shoftim, talks about the inyan of the parsha of Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is a parsha that talks about somebody that kills another human being. We don't know who the murderer is. So the halacha is that you have to measure to the nearest city from where the body of the dead, deceased, is. And the zikne of that city have to go out and take an egla arufa, take a young calf, and kill it. What they do is they take that young calf, they take it down to the Nachal Eson, to a certain area, Shelo Yo'ovid Boy, Blazorea area, for Orifu Shamasa Egla Banocho, and they break the back of the, they take the back of the neck, they break the back, the animal, they destroy the animal, and it's a kapara life for this deceased man that we don't know, that no one got a punishment for it. No one was punished for it. There was no kapara given for it. This is the kapara until we find the murderer. If the murderer is found, so then they take care of it. Now, the pasuk says that they get up and they pronounce, these ziknei ha'ir get up and pronounce, they make an announcement when they do this procedure. They get up and they make an announcement when they do this procedure, and they say, Yodeinu lo yishofchu es adam hazeh. We zikenim, we're not blood spillers. We didn't spill the blood of this man. Veineinu lo yiro, we did not see anything. We didn't spill his blood, and we didn't see anything. We don't know from what happened over here. So Chazal asked the obvious kasha. We're talking about men with white, long beards. The ziknei ha'ir come out, and they have to pronounce on this dead animal that we didn't spill the blood of this man. What's going on? That these guys are the murderers. So Rashi, Elo, lo reininu, reinuhu, fitarnuhu, b'loy mizoynis. We never saw this guy. And we didn't send him away without food and without escortation. We didn't not escort him. And then, so the pasuk saying that they get up and they pronounce, you should know, we didn't see this guy. We didn't see this guy and send him away without food. We didn't see this guy and send him away without nourishment. It could be we did send him away with nourishment. And therefore, our hands are clean. There's no blood on our hands, said Ezekiel. So what's the implication here of what's in the Rashi? The implication is that if they would have sent him away without food, if they would have sent him away without escortation, if they would have sent him away without giving him sustenance, they would have been, so they would, we would have had a taina on this, on the Ezekiel. In fact, the Alta, I think the Alta asked this question. This man that died, how did he die? Oh, he was killed. If he would have died of hunger, if he would have died of thirst, I would have said, okay, it's good what they're saying. No, we're not responsible because we sent him away. He didn't come by and he didn't get food from us. He didn't get sustenance from us. We didn't say, we sent him away of, full. We sent them away satisfied. So then they could tie in, okay, it's not our fault. But this guy was killed in blood, cold blood. What's the nafgumina if they sent him away with food, they sent him away without food, they escorted him, they didn't escort him, who cares? Even if they gave him food, he was killed in cold blood. Why do they have to say, you should know, we did ours, it's not our fault. Like to imply that if they didn't give him food, it was their fault. The guy got killed in cold blood. He didn't die of starvation. So it doesn't make a difference if they gave him food or didn't give him food. Alta Gavalda Yisoid. Says the Alta, you know what the Yisoid is, Moish? So it's like this. You're right, he died in cold blood. But if they wouldn't have given him food, or they wouldn't have given him sustenance, it could have been a taina on the Ziknei Ha'am for a certain reason. And that is, let's picture the scene of Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully we won't see this, and we won't have this scene. It's a shame we will never have to see a Chas V'Shalom. But the guy is leaving a city. He just went to a city, unbeknown to him, the city. He's a guest, he's a visitor. And he walks into the city, and nobody bats an eyelash on this guy. No one pays attention to him. No one shows any caring for him. No one gives him a morsel of bread. No one gives him a drink. No one escorts him. How does that guy leave the city? Not so happy. Not so fulfilled. Not so confident. Chazal saying a murder to get the hair over there. That when this guy meets up now with the murderer, the power, the perseverance, the strength to fight that murderer is missing in him. You know why? Because when he left the city, if he wouldn't have gotten what he got from these Shekinim, he left the city with a lack of self-esteem. And that could lead to the murder of this man. Oh, the murder happened through cold blood, but the will to fight was taken away from him because no one showed him respect. That's what Chazal were telling him. That's what they were saying. Kainim had to say, we did our part. We gave him the food. We gave him the sustenance. We would have given the food if we would have seen him. And we're not responsible. But if they had not given him food, if they had seen him and not given food, if they had seen him and not given him sustenance, even if he was killed in cold blood, they'd be held responsible. Why? Because the strength, the fortitude, the confidence to have willpower to fight would have been taken away by not giving him covet. There's an unbelievable ma'aser of Rosh Hashanah in the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara tells us in Tainus that it was a yid called Choyni HaMagel. Choyni the Magel. Choyni HaMagel, the Rasal tells an unbelievable story how he brought rain. But the end of his life went out very, pretty sour. It was a tremendous tragedy. Choyni HaMagel had a problem. Well, let's put it in a different terminology. He didn't understand one of the pesukim. The pasuk says, "Shir ha'malos b'shuv Hashem ashiv ha'sion, haninu kichom u'lechom." So the pasuk's mashma that we were like chomer, we were in a dream, we were sleeping. B'shuv Hashem ashiv ha'sion. For the whole time that we were in Golos, we were dreaming, we were sleeping. We know Klal Yisrael were in Golos for 70 years. Ask Choni Hamagel. He had a question on the pasuk: does a person sleep for 70 years? So I wanted to answer that. I'm not sure it's God. He never was in Teres Chaim. But Choni HaMagel had the kasha. How's it possible for someone to live 70 years? I don't have the kasha, but he had the kasha. Can a person sleep for 70 years straight? But a gishmak is sleep, no? Oh, ew. I once said to a bracha, a very shtar before, I said, Morris says in brachas, I said that sleep, Shina is 1/60th of death. The guy said to me, can you imagine how the shmak gets to me? Anyway, the Maisa. But the Maisa, at the end of the day, 70 years. 70 years. Is it possible for him to sleep? So Chazal said, a rock covered him, and he slept for 70 years. Choni HaMagel slept for 70 years. When he got up, so when he went to school, he went to sleep, he saw a guy planting a tree.
A carob tree,
right? Walking in kindness. He played a carob tree. He got up, he saw somebody taking down the fruit. The carob tree, it takes years to grow. He says, that you? No, I'm the grandson of the guy who planted it. He said, wow, I must have slept for 70 years. He left his donkey, he saw all the baby, like great-great-grandchildren of his donkeys. Right? Baby donkeys. Call him Donk for short, little Donk, big Donk. Anyway, Junior Donk. And the Maisa, They all, what's it called? Let's see, they have a different nickname. Anyway, but kids up for the Maisa. Jack, you know. Anyway, for the Maisa, at the end of the day, you know, so, at the end of the day, what's the chant, everybody says? The Pelah the Gazah. He slept, the Gemara says they slept for 70 years. He went home, and he said, I'm Choni Amago. They didn't believe him. He went to the Beis Medrash, and the Beis Medrash, they were clearing a Shiloh, and they said, they're clearing a Shiloh, and they said that the Gemara is so schwer, we don't have pshat. We wish that this could be clear, like the days of Choni Amago. He said, it's me, I'm Choni Amago, here I am. He asked me any Shiloh. They didn't believe him. They didn't give him a charus. No one wanted to learn with him. So he begged Rachamim to die, and he died. He said, Oy chavrusa, oy misusa. Either friends, either people that I feel confident around, but no one's going to give me any cover. No one's going to cover. No one's going to recognize. No one's going to respect me. No one's going to talk to me. If you think I'm not who I am, that's better death, he said. And he was Miftah, Choni Amago was Miftah. Tragedy that ended his life. But what do we see from here, of course? That a person feels that he is a somebody. And if he doesn't have that, he preferred death. That's what Chazal's teaching was over here, of course. This guy, Chazal, they have to tell that they did with all their power. They gave him the confidence. They gave him the fortitude. They gave him the feel that he's a somebody. That if he would meet up with the murderer now, at least he'd have a fighting chance. But if a person's treated with not respectful, if a person's not taken care of, if a person's not shown that he's a somebody, who knows how that's going to affect how that person's going to be able to function. You don't understand, of course, the power of a smile, the power of a good word to somebody, the power of telling a guy, even your friend, how much you mean to him, how much he's a special person in your life. You don't understand the power that could affect a person to give him the confidence, the fortitude to go on with life. So not so much, it doesn't have to be so drastic, dramatic as this ending, and the guy was saved from, would have been saved from death. But in the same way, you don't understand the power of giving a certain feeling that he's a somebody in this world. Everybody wants to be a somebody. And this is the destruction of how many people are destroyed their own selves by feeling low in themselves and because people do not show them any kindness and respect. And it especially goes through in the yeshiva, especially the new guys come in, they don't feel a little bit out of it, they don't feel part of it, but I have to show them that we hold of you, we're happy you're here, we believe in you, we want to be friendly with you, I want to make you part of the crowd. Baruch Hashem and Abel Mams, I know that's one of the things. Even a new Bacha came over to me and said, how does he like it? Everybody around him applause and a pat on your back. He said he loves it here, he feels there's so much actus. Everybody's taken into the crowd, no matter who he is. But the mice, we have to understand, because Chazal tells us the depth, how far it goes, how far a person needs to hear. Every single person needs to hear it, Rabbi Yisrael. That the Chosh would say, oh, you know, I'm not a covet. It's not a word of covet. It's self-respect. It's a feeling of that you're confident about yourself. It's unbelievable, Rabbi Yisrael. I once said over this story, I just was repeating this story recently. Dov Brizak in his book has a story, things in his book, where maybe I read in an article, has a story of how once he was walking in Har Nof, and he was walking past the bus stop. And he walked past the bus stop, and he missed, and the bus passed. That was the, no. And the mice, he saw by the bus stop there was a kid that was sitting there, that he realized, he recognized from the neighborhood, who wasn't doing so well, let's put it that way. He saw the boy was struggling, the boy was just somebody that was, let's call it not like the regular yeshiva bacha, maybe even worse. And obviously, in neighborhoods all around, when a boy looks a little different, the tendency of people is sometimes to avoid contact with him, avoid any contact with him, because he's different already. So don't be Zakitaka, he wasn't conscious. He passed by. And he said for a second, he thought, should I go back? Shouldn't I go back? Should I go back? Shouldn't I go back? And Lumaisa, he decided he's going to go back and just say hello to that bacha. And Lumaisa, he went back and said hello. And Rabbi said, that bacha, that bacha said afterwards, he told her, don't breathe that later on, no, I was thinking of going off the Darach, I was thinking of Mamash giving up, no one cares about me. When you turned around and came right back and said hello to me, how you doing, those few words, I realized I could trust in society, I realized that I'm not there so bad after all. I was going in a cab just from a Thursday night, Rabbi Stein. I was going in a cab, I took a cab to Beitar, I was going to went to Shabbos, and the guy took me to Beitar. No, and as I was going, the guy told me that he doesn't feel so good about himself. I said, what do you do? I got him, he's the guy that turned to Baal Tshuva, he was in Atlanta, and he had Baal Tshuva over there. He doesn't feel so good about himself. You know, he just learns a little bit, he downs a little bit, he doesn't feel so good about himself in America. He thought, well, we're better here now because everybody's learning. I was telling him, you're a people. And I gave him a hug, and I made him feel good about himself. After the ride, he said, Eiz Ashkacha, that came with you. He laid off with a smile, he felt so good about himself. I said, maybe give me a few cheaper prizes, but no. He felt so good about himself. Iman felt good himself. And all it took, Rabbi Zai, I made the guy feel that he's like $1 million. There's somebody in this world. He was telling me, you know, I'm not so great. In America, I felt like a gibor. So I told him, Ezu gibor. We all think that gibor, being a gibor is totally in somebody else. I'm strong. Why? How am I strong? I'm stronger than that guy. I can lift more barbells than that guy. Ezu chacham. Who's the chacham? The smartest guy. Whoever answers the most questions on the quiz. Ezu asher. Let's go to Forbes and see the lineup over there. Chazal didn't say that, I told him. Chazal said, Ezu Gibor, Kovi Shashitsu. Ezu Asher, that's not Chavah. Chazal is telling us a Moed Gizar. Gvura, Ashirus, Simchas, can't be dependent on somebody else. Because that's Menashe Shemaim. Who's going to have the most Moed Zlo Shemaim? But who's a real rich person? Copy your own self, I told him. You're a Gibor of your Kovish Yitzro. You get up every morning, I told him. And he gets up every morning. And he gets up to daven, you do that. You're a Gibor because you have a fight and you're able to do it. That's the greatest Gibor. And who's wealthy? Not even much. If you're Sameh, what you have? If you copy yourself, that's what Chazal's teaching us. It can't be towing somebody else because it's not dependent on me. It can't be these things, can't be towing somebody else and then expect it's towing myself. How copy myself I treat. I look on myself. And saying those words, Rabbi Sai, the guy left with a smile and felt good about himself. Rabbi Sai, we don't realize this. Like the cab driver, you bus, you go in a cab, you speak Hebrew, this guy Packer spoke English. He told me he had sometimes Bachum that come in and said, nah, that cab trying to rob him, and he knows English. He said, get out of my cab. And, but the mice, at the end of the day, that's a different story. You have to be careful, you never know. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Sai, you never know, you can make feel good about us, and that's what's our teaching us. We're yidin. We have to understand the power that we can make somebody feel confident. That's our chiyuv, because at the end of the day, they would have done this, they would have considered the murderers. They would consider accomplice in the murder of somebody by not giving the confidence of us. We can kill, we can make alive the power of our words. Give somebody the feeling that he's a somebody.